What up, what up, what up? It is week one, folks. Oh my God. We are here. Football is back. Okada, I'm super excited. I wanted to just jump right into this pod, bro. I don't want to waste any time. But listen, week one is here. We're setting lineups. This is real. This is when it counts. Let's go.
It's crazy. It's football's back. It doesn't really feel real.
Set our freaking lineup show is the theme of the rundown. It may not be the episode title because I don't know if people are going to be running here. They might pull up Seth freaking Rollins when you type in freaking lineups, yo. But here we are, week one, man. We're going to be doing some game previews, man. Now that we're in season, we're going to inform folks, start, sit. We're going to cover a small batch of games, not every game, but basically we're going to be hitting on some important games for burning questions to help you folks to give you actionable advice so you can apply to your rosters. Now, let's get into Friday night. Chiefs Chargers, man. Okada, this is a matchup that's going to be in São Paulo, Brazil. This is a week one matchup where it's a division rival. Obviously, folks, if you drafted Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to come up in this, man. We already know we're going to be drafting him. You draft your studs, you start your studs. But Okada, I have to ask you, though, on the Charger side first, are you brave enough to be rolling out Keenan Allen in your flex positions? Because I think there is some appeal here when it comes to this Chiefs defense. You know you ain't running the ball on Spags' defense, so the Chargers are going to have to throw the ball in week one. Are you rolling out Keenan Allen as your flex play in week one?
This is pretty tough. I think this is one of the tougher questions of the week because we have history of Keenan Allen in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert. It's great history. It's wide receiver one PPR stud history. The problem is that history didn't include Ladd McConkey, and it included a much younger Keenan Allen. So it's like, are we going to get old Keenan, or is he going to be a secondary or tertiary piece in this offense now because Ladd is kind of the new Keenan? Here's the way I basically would look at it. I think Keenan Allen has a very, very low floor in this matchup because if he is not what he used to be for LA, then he's going to see like three targets and have one or two catches. Oof,
that's nasty.
And I don't think he has a super high ceiling because I don't think he has the 10 target old Keenan Allen ceiling that he used to have because Ladd McConkey is there. So to me, for week one, until we see how this, you know, passing game and offense in general plays out, I would hold Keenan Allen out because I think it's a low floor and a kind of low ceiling. But watch the routes, watch the targets, and see how much they run versus pass, and then think about it in week two. That would be my approach.
This is what it comes down to, man. Does he still have the juice? Like, I keep telling my friends in my group chat in our home league, they've been talking Keenan Allen for the last couple of days because he's been the topic in our group chat. I think Keenan Allen will be fine. He'll be a solid flex play on a week-to-week basis. I don't see myself benching my wide receiver one or two. And I say that because Keenan Allen, again, he's up there in age. This may be a different version of Keenan Allen in a Chargers jersey. So we do need to take into account, A, this is a new identity of this Chargers offense. B, Ladd McConkey is in this offense. He's going to be the function of this offense. So I do think, folks, let's pump the brakes on Keenan Allen. Let's pump the brakes on trying to roll and force him into our lineups because some of my guys in my league, one of my league mates that have Keenan Allen, he's thinking about benching Travion Henderson for Keenan Allen just because of that nostalgic feel. And you made a great point. This may not be Keenan Allen of 10 targets, folks. We need to chill out. I understand the hype of week one, but God, let's relax and see how tonight unfolds. But man, I got to ask you about the Chiefs. Now, we obviously already addressed Patrick Mahomes. He's starting for you. He is the QB1 for your team. But how are we treating these pass catchers? When it comes to Travis Kelce, when it comes to Marquise Brown, I'm not calling him Hollywood Brown. He needs to earn his cool name and play to that level of Hollywood Brown. But how are we treating Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster? What are we doing with the Chiefs pass catchers in week one?
This is an interesting one. Someone just got ruled out today, too. Who just got ruled out today?
Jalen Royal had a knee injury. I know he didn't practice this week, right. So that may be him.
I'm pretty sure he's inactive, yeah. So this is, by the way, we record this on Thursday.
Yes.
Anyone who's wondering who we say
spoiler
today. So I'm starting Xavier Worthy. Now, I'm not a big Xavier Worthy fan. If you've followed me this offseason, I'm not a huge Xavier Worthy guy.
If you know, you know.
Bust. I much prefer Rashee Rice, but obviously Rashee Rice is not here because he is suspended. So yes. It's no Rashee Rice. It's no Jalen Royals. To me, I'm rolling Xavier Worthy out there with confidence, I would say, as a wide receiver, too. I'm nice. Rolling Travis Kelce out there because I think he's going to get the targets at least this week. When Rice comes back, I would not be surprised if Kelce starts to fall off a little bit. But for this week, I'm rolling Travis Kelce out there with some pretty solid confidence. And if you're going for a crazy DFS play, Rashard Smith is a consideration. Wow. Because when the receivers are out, the PPR running backs tend to pick up.
And it's Matt Nagy on the sticks. You know, he loves to pepper his running backs.
Just saying. So those would be the plays. I would not take shots on Juju or Marquise Brown because I just think it's too hard to predict what one of them is going to catch the, 40-yard touchdown like Justin Watson used to do for this team.
Exactly.
Someone's probably going to do it, but I don't know who.
And that's a good analysis because it's like, I know folks are eager to put in Chiefs pass catchers, but folks, it's not as clear as day as it used to be back in the day when Tyreek Hill was in that Chiefs jersey. You have to be very cautious when rolling out some of these pass catchers that are going to be catching the ball from Patrick Mahomes. Yes, the quarterback is elite, but we know this ball is going to be spread around and it's going to be based on matchup where some of these guys, they may fade away or they may be at a focal point. I am having on my bingo card that Juju Smith-Schuster will have at least a wide receiver 2 week where he's going to be the focal point. That's just how it ends up being for the Chiefs. But let's move to another game. This is going to be prime time, baby. Vikings, Bears. This is going to be all eyes on the quarterbacks. But man, I need to ask you, what are your expectations from this Bears offense with Ben Johnson on the sticks? And who actually stands out to you on this Bears offense as a play this week?
Oh, boy. I have not ranked my excitement for each of these games this week. Cowboys Eagles tonight would be very, very high because I have so much Cowboys fantasy assets, but Vikings Bears might be up there at number two or somewhere in the top three or four, because I am so curious to see what Ben Johnson does for this Bears offense, for Caleb Williams, for my favorite fantasy pick of the year, which is DeAndre Swift. Both of us are way in on DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
And pass catching situation shakes out both on routes and target share, because they've got so many guys that have talent and the potential to rack up targets. If Caleb Williams, buys into them, builds a rapport with them, is it going to be DJ Moore? Is it going to be Roma Dunze? Is it going to be Luther Burden out of the slot? Is it going to be Colston Loveland as a tight end? Yeah.
Olame Zaccheaus. There's a lot of faces on this offense.
How many targets is DeAndre Swift going to get? I think it's going to be plenty. So it's the whole situation in terms of how that shakes out is going to be really, really interesting to me. One thing I will say, this is something I looked into this week for a couple of the articles I've written. The Ben Johnson's Lions last year ran play action at the highest rate in the entire league. The Bears last year ran play action half as often as the Lions did. And in this preseason, the Bears ran play action very, very frequently under Ben Johnson. They're going to run a lot of play action. I think it's going to change the way that the offense looks completely from how it looked last year. So what we see in week one could dictate a lot of what we see for the rest of the season. This is a huge, huge, huge game to watch.
I got to say, that is very, very pleasant to hear, because I am all in on DeAndre Swift. I'm all in on DJ Moore. I got a lot of Zaccheaus sitting on my bench as well, because I think he's going to have a Darnell Mooney type of breakout season. The same impact Darnell Mooney had for the Atlanta Falcons. You could just copy and paste and put that to Zaccheaus. Let's go to the Vikings side, though, because I think this is where some folks are just blindly like, yeah, man, of course, Justin Jefferson, he's my start. But I see some rosters out there that are rocking with J.J. McCarthy. This will be the first time we really get eyes on this young man in a regular season game where it counts. Should we be nervous, though, about the pass catchers over there? I mean, Adam Thielen's back home. I mean, obviously, Justin Jefferson's going to be safe, but should we at least be a little worried about rolling J.J. McCarthy and these pass catchers out?
I don't think I would use the word worried. Mm-hmm. I do think the ceilings for people not named Justin Jefferson might be a little bit lower to start the year until we find out who this kid is. And for what it's worth, I think J.J. McCarthy is very good and will be a solid NFL quarterback. So I think we get to a point pretty quickly where the ceiling's not even lowered. But outside of Justin Jefferson, who you are never going to lower the ceiling for, we thought about doing it with Sam Darnold and we learned our lesson. He will elevate whoever's playing quarterback because he's the best or one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. I'm not worried at all about him. Outside of him, I think the ceilings for Adam Thielen and TJ Hawkinson are probably a little bit lower. But I would still start TJ Hawkinson with confidence because to me, he's a top five tight end this year. And young, first few games, essentially rookie, not technically, but essentially rookie quarterbacks tend to go to the safe, you know, big bodied options. And TJ Hawkinson is that. So I really like Hawkinson. If you want to start Adam Thielen in a DFS lineup, go for it. I don't think you're starting him in any managed leagues.
And Okada, I am one of those folks that actually drafted Adam Thielen. And I drafted him
with the likes
of him being a Panther. So a lot of my best ball leagues, it's like, okay, cool. Adam Thielen's on my bench. But some leagues, I actually came away with him as a stash from the bench. So I'm going to throw one. It's not in the rundown. Like, I don't know if I can actually fit Adam Thielen in my rosters because I do think he will have a presence on this Vikings offense where I'm going to have to bully him some way into my starting lineups. Like, what is your expectations on Adam Thielen real quick?
I think he could be sneaky good. If you're playing in PPR, especially where he's always been pretty good, and if McCarthy ends up efficient where he's throwing touchdowns, Adam Thielen has always been good at that as well. I think he could be very sneakily good. I'm not going to start him in week one, and I don't know how confident I'll be starting him in week two, and then Jordan Addison will be back by week four. So it's going to be interesting to find out where we can fit Thielen in. But what I will say is I think he is a great bench stash. So if you don't have him on your bench and you're holding somebody that's not as good or that's
a Cedric Tillman injured
or something like that.
I've seen rosters for Cedric. What are we doing? Like, I ain't mean to blow
I don't hate Cedric Tillman, but Adam Thielen might have a higher floor than Cedric Tillman. Go look on your waiver wire, see if you can fit Thielen on your bench somewhere, because I do think he has a chance to be good.
All right, let's go to New York. We got to talk Giants and Commanders. This one to me, right? I think all eyes are going to be on this Commanders backfield. But how are you approaching week one? How are you approaching this backfield? Is it Jacory Crosby-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill? Or is it Chris Rodriguez? Or is it the safe floor that I believe in Austin Eckler? I mean, if you bought in and sipped the tea of Kill Bill, are you rolling? Like, who are you rolling out?
Oh, are we going with Kill Bill now? Is that a thing?
Kill Bill, he's going to be carving up a lot of defenses this season, man. That's just the little nickname I gave him.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be killing Bill out of any of my starting lineups. That's what I'm going to be doing. No Jacory Crosby-Merritt in your lineups. Listen, I have been the number one, maybe top five for sure, Bill Crosby-Merritt haters.
Oh my God, player hater of the year, class of 2000.
This does, I am in no way considering him in week one, and I don't think he ever is going to crack a starting lineup this year. That sounds like a bold prediction. Whoa. I legitimately do not think he's going to be a starting lineup cracker in fantasy, and here's why. For one thing, Austin Eckler, in my opinion, is going to be the guy. Rushing and receiving, certainly receiving. And then when it comes to the receiving side of things, I think Chris Rodriguez is going to be ahead of Crosby-Merritt. I've put out a bunch of research this year. You can go check out my Twitter or any of the articles I've written about how seventh round rookie running backs do not hit. It doesn't happen. One time a guy cracked 100 fantasy points, that was Isaiah Pacheco. So I am not buying in on Crosby-Merritt. I'm not putting him in a starting lineup. If you look at any week one lines, like betting lines for him, what are his yards set at? What are his carries set at? It's pitiful. And you can usually trust Vegas to be right about this stuff or to be smart about this stuff. So I would not roll him out anywhere. I don't care if you have a deep flex, not doing it. However, if you have Austin Eckler, and especially if you're in a half PPR or a PPR, I would absolutely consider flexing him. I think he will be pretty good.
Nah, I love that. I love that you kept it real. Because, folks, I understand the hype. When the last 2 weeks of August hit and there's inflated hype, that balloon is going to be pressing the ceiling and it's going to pop and it's going to hurt. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to preview the rest of the games, man. Okada and me are going to be hanging out and keeping you guys tapped all the way in with actionable advice to apply to your starting lineups this week. And we're back. We got more fireworks, man. I'm going to jump right into this matchup because, boy, I see a lot of starting lineups out there in all the leagues that I am that has Travis Hunter in their starting lineups. Now, Okada, are you starting Travis Hunter against the Panthers in week one? Panthers, Jaguars, it's going to be all eyes on Travis Hunter, the unicorn. Are you rolling him out?
I am going to, live on this podcast, double check my league where I think I don't know which one it is. Good gracious. Like I might not be able to find it. Maybe I'll find it while you're talking about
Hunter. Hit that search bar.
There is a league somewhere where I drafted Travis Hunter and I have to decide whether to start him this week. It depends on who else you've got and where he was drafted. That should make sense because you probably draft him as your wide receiver three or wide receiver four, which means he's probably like a flex consideration for you and you have other guys. I will say I am confident starting him. I am going to be confident starting him. Whether he beats out the other options you have obviously depends entirely on the options that you have. If you have Ted McMillan, I'd rather start Ted McMillan. Ooh. But if you have, I might say a hot name here, Zay Flowers.
Whoa.
I'd rather
benching
start Travis
Zay
Hunter.
Flowers for
I'd rather
Travis
start Travis Hunter.
Freaking Hunter?
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what?
Buddy.
I'll take you up on that because that's where you need to draw the line. Like in those type of plays, I'm even willing to say I would sit Xavier Worthy if I have Travis Hunter as my wide receiver three or four. And that sounds spicy, but it's really not because Liam Coleman this entire summer has told us that he is going to be a offensive weapon. Even though me O'Brien on my podcast, What's the Word over there at FTN Fantasy, and little subtle plug right there, she was speaking about Travis Hunter as being looked at more as a situational player. And this is why I asked this question to you, Okada, because this kind of scares me because he's also listed as CB2, the second string corner for the defense. I do think there is a risk play here of him playing both sides of the ball very early in the season because he was banged up over in camp. Like, folks, I like to take the wait and see approach if I see red flags or just a question mark of unknown where I want to set the tone in week one. I don't want to make the mistakes, but like Okada said, it depends on who you have. If you have Zay Flowers, I'm benching him. If I have Xavier Worthy, just my personal belief, I'm benching Worthy for Travis Hunter. So I think we can lead folks with that decision based on them, but it's just understanding and getting your expectations in order that it's week one. He's playing both sides of the ball. There's a big unknown, folks, but roll the dice, go out swinging in week one. Now, let me ask you another question. We have to look at the Panther side of the ball. Other than Tetero and McMillan, Jalen Coker and IR, that destroyed the fantasy streets. You might have heard a huge groan. You might have heard a huge groan from wherever you're at. That was me just so sad that we do not get Jalen Coker season right off the top. But outside of Tetero and McMillan, like, is there anybody worth trying to test out the waters into your starting lineups? Like, do you feel good about anybody else outside of Tetero and McMillan?
I mean, obviously Chuba Hubbard would count, but if you're talking just pass catchers, yeah, I don't know, Laquan. It's messy. Like, I will say this. I don't think the Jaguars defense is going to be amazing. I don't buy into, oh my gosh, this team allowed the most fantasy points to this position last year. We have to start everybody against him in week one this year because
it's fresh.
it's a reset. Things change so much. However, you can still look at the existing Jaguars defense and say, I don't think this is a very talented defense.
Yes.
And say, somebody is probably going to be good in this game. If Bryce Young has a good game, and I'm a huge Bryce Young breakout believer, I actually like Bryce Young in this game, I will say. But yeah, you're not starting him outside of two QB leagues or DFS. But if he has a good game, someone besides Tet McMillan is probably going to have a good game. Is it Xavier Leggett? Maybe. Is it Hunter Renfrow, fresh off the bounce, being bounced off the roster and then back on it?
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
Yeah, snip, snap. I don't know. Is it Jatavion Sanders, who's a kind of sneaky tight end? Maybe. Super. But are you rolling any of those guys into your redraft managed league starting roster? I don't think so. So yeah. I think you start Tet McMillan. I think you start Chuba Hubbard, and you pay very close attention to the routes and the targets. You check in with any of the fantasy FTN content that comes out this week, because somebody will talk about it and we'll learn something, and we'll want to put one of these guys will be on the waiver wire in the waiver wire columns this week, and one of them might end up in a starting lineup next week, but I just don't know who it is, so I'm not going there this week.
Word. Let's talk about Packers versus the Lions. Now, Akai, I got a scenario for you that happened in my home league just a week ago, where I watched Purdy go off the board. I watched Trevor Lawrence go off the board, but the person that was the tip top of that quarterback of the two I just mentioned was Jared Goff. How do you feel about rolling Jared Goff out as a QB1 in a one QB league without Ben Johnson?
I do not feel good, Laquan. And this is twofold for me. One, I do believe, and I've been saying it all offseason, that the departure of Ben Johnson is going to hurt this Lions offense a lot more than everybody seems to think. I think, for the most part, people are slotting in Lions just about exactly where they slotted them in last year. Yep. That doesn't make any sense to me, because you've got one of the smartest, most wizardly offensive minds in the league. Everybody talks about him being one of the best play callers in football. He wins assistant coach of the year last year. He leaves, goes to the Bears. We all get excited about how the Bears are going to improve. But where is the corresponding concern about Detroit? I feel like it gets missed. So I don't like Jared Goff regardless. And I also am a little bit down on Amon-Ra St. Brown for the course of the season. This particular week, I like ARSB a little bit more. I also particularly am concerned about this game, because the offensive line got shifted around a bunch. They lost two Pro Bowlers on the inside of their offensive line, and they are going up against a Packers defense that is quite good, already had a pretty good pass rush, and they may or may not, Laquan, have gone out and acquired the best pass rusher in the National Football League.
You don't say, huh?
So I am very concerned about what the time Jared Goff is going to have in the pocket this week. This offensive line has not had a chance to gel with their new setup. Micah Parsons, if he plays, which is not a 100% guarantee right now, but if he does, is going to elevate this Packers front. I am very concerned about how this could go. I'm not starting Jameson Williams anywhere I can as a result. Because when the pressure is coming, you typically don't have a chance to go to your downfield guys. You go to your dump off guys. So I like Jahmyr Gibbs. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I like Sam Laporta a little bit more. But Goff and Williams, to me, are big sits in this matchup.
Travis Hunter or Jameson Williams? Come on, quick with it.
Travis
quick
Hunter.
Folks.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is crucial, because I know a lot of people are just copy and pasting what they think about what this Lions offense is going to look like. And like Okada said, hit nail on the head. We are not really looking at this offense without Ben Johnson and the issues and deeper layers that it brings. I mean, honestly, man, I feel nasty about Jameson Williams in my starting lineup. But guess what? He is my wide receiver three. He is my wide receiver three, not my two. This is how you're supposed to address the situations in the lineup. If Jameson Williams hits, I do think with John Morton as the offensive coordinator, I'm looking for fireworks. I'm looking for the high, high ceiling, the home run hitter. But as my flex or wide receiver three, I do not want to put the weight. And Sam Laporta as well, I don't know. He feels weird this season, and I think we're going to have our expectations a little bit too high if he starts out this game where he does have a favorable matchup. I think he might be one of the guys that Goff will have to lean on, but for a season-long look, it might be weird for Laporta. But I want to ask you about the Packers. Oh, go ahead.
just really quick, I think that's exactly the way to look at it with Laporta, in terms of he might be okay this week because Goff has to get rid of the ball quick and it goes to him. Mm-hmm. But the biggest negative that we're going to get with Ben Johnson, in my opinion, is how often this team is going to be in the red zone and how effective they're going to be in the red zone. And Sam Laporta is a guy who thrives off touchdowns. Same thing with David Montgomery. I think both those guys are going to suffer a lot because this team, in my opinion, is going to score less without Ben Johnson. So rest of the year, I very much agree with you.
Ooh, thoughts and prayers, but let's go to the Packers pass catchers. This should be clear cut. You started Matthew Golden week one, man. I see a lot of folks bullying their way into the flex lineup. Okada,
oh boy,
you're reacting.
Yeah. You got to get him in. You've got to get him in your lineup. I don't know how you're going to do it because...
But you got to do it, right?
You were drafting him as your wide receiver 4 or 5 in a lot of leagues, depending on when you drafted. Obviously, climbed up towards the end of August. But
yes,
you got to try to find a way. Get him in your flex. They don't got nobody else right now, Laquan. And they're probably going to have to throw a little bit. As much as I hated on the Lions offense regressing, they're still going to regress to decent, and they have a decent defense. So this should be a close game. That Matthew Golden, eight targets, nine targets, 10 targets.
I am not the only one fearful of my life of starting Matthew Golden in week one. Like, I know I can't be the only one that's nervous. Like, it feels weird. It's a Packers wide receiver.
Yeah, it's very true. And I will say, I was not a Matthew Golden fan coming out of the draft. I didn't like him as a prospect. I didn't get him very anywhere in Dynasty, pretty much. However, someone's got to catch passes there. I mean, Tucker Kraft might catch a few. But outside of that, it's Matthew Golden. Everybody else is injured.
Do you know who I'm benching for Matthew Golden right now?
Who are you benching?
I think I'm going to be kicking my butt for. I know a lot of folks are in a similar situation right now. I'm benching Calvin Ridley for Matthew Golden right now.
Ooh,
that feels disgusting, Okada. Ooh. Do you understand how nasty that feels?
That's a really good one. That's a really tough one.
No, it's not a good one. I'm in pain. I want to come out swinging in week one. Folks, the people that are listening, they're in the same situations. Come on, man. That's going to be a freaking headache on a week-to-week basis if Golden comes out swinging in week one, man.
Yep.
Ah, man. Let's go to another game. Here in L.A., we got the Houston Texans coming to Rams' house. And obviously, as a big Rams fan, man, I'm going to try to take my Rams hat off in there and help the folks that are listening for their fantasy rosters. My horns. I'll take my horns off. I like that. But let me ask you about this, though. I'm going to go to Houston's side. Christian Kirk is dealing with a hamstring strain, and he is likely going to miss Sunday's game. Now, does this mean that we're rolling out Jaden Higgins? Does this mean that we're adding Jalen Noel to our watch list and or stashing or even flirting with the idea of starting him at some point of this season? What are we doing with Houston's pass catcher outside of Nico Collins?
If possible, it depends on how deep your benches are, but if possible, I would absolutely be stashing Jalen Noel. I would already be stashing Jaden Higgins. I drafted him all over the place. He's on so many of my benches because I believe he'll end up as a wide receiver too, even when Christian Kirk is healthy. But for now, Christian Kirk is not healthy, which changes the landscape entirely. Higgins should be on no waiver wires. Jalen Noel should be on some, because not every league is super deep. But if you've got room, if you've got deeper benches, if you start three wide receivers, I would definitely look at stashing Jalen Noel, because both of these guys are talented. Both of these guys were highly drafted by Houston. And hamstring injuries are bothersome. They tend to linger. Christian Kirk has had injuries bug him throughout his career.
Yeah.
Both of these guys might end up interesting. Am I starting Jaden Higgins this week?
Oh my God, that's flirting with the idea, Okada.
If you are in a 3 wide receiver, 2 flex league, I'd be kind of curious because listen, Laquan.
Oh my.
Listen, I believe in the Rams offense. You believe in the Rams offense, I'm sure.
Of course.
They're going to put up points. I believe in CJ Stroud. I think he is capable of putting up points. With those two things combined, they are going to have to throw the ball. Nico Collins can't catch all of them. And this is even worse than the Packers situation because they have Tucker Kraft. Are we trusting Dalton Schultz to come out and get 8 targets? I don't think so. Jaden Higgins might be in line for 8+ targets here, and he's the kind of guy where if he gets volume, it's going to be very tasty volume because he can catch the ball downfield. He can score touchdowns. It's going to be tough to get him into a redraft lineup, but I think it's going to be possible for some people, and I think he's a really nice DFS play. And for what it's worth, Nico Collins might score 30 fantasy points.
This is difficult, man, because what you're telling me is that you're flirting with the idea of Higgins. At this moment live, I'm checking to see his availability in some leagues. Okay, he's rostered in about 72% of leagues on Sleeper, according to there. I'm pretty sure in Yahoo. I'm pretty sure in other areas of the field, it's probably going to be in that 60 range. Are you dropping Quinshon Judkins, Cedric Tillman, or Alec Iomaner? These three guys. I'm not saying you pick any three. Are these guys worth to be dropping to pick up a Jaden Higgins?
Yes. 100% on Iomaner. And who is the second one? Cedric Tillman?
Cedric Tillman, yes.
100% on Cedric Tillman. And I kind of like Cedric Tillman with Flacco a little bit, but not as much as Jaden Higgins in this scenario with this quarterback. Judkins is much tougher. Here's what I'll say on Judkins. You don't have to drop him to pick up Higgins until right before the game, which means you can give the Browns as many days as possible to sign Quinshon Judkins. But let me tell you what, Laquan, if they don't sign him before week one, I mean, this is unprecedented, but I don't see him signing. Like, that's crazy to me. So if Sunday morning rolls around and he's not signed by the Cleveland Browns, I would drop him for Jaden Higgins. If they sign him, you're absolutely not dropping him for Jaden Higgins. And you should go, as soon as you see that news alert on your phone, you should go check every league you're in to see if Judkins is on the waiver wire, because he might.
Oh, he is. He is. Yeah. He's out there. Some folks are panicking. Some folks are dropping Judkins. And I think that is the wrong move before we get information, actionable information. Yeah. Making decisions. Now let's jump to the Rams. I'm curious to get your take on this backfield. Now, I do think this is going to be a run heavy game when it comes to the Rams backfield. I think Kyren Williams is going to have a day on this Houston Texans defense, but the RB2 there is Blake Corum. And I think Sean McVay has basically indicated that Blake Corum is going to be more involved in this backfield. He won the RB2 job over Jarquez Hunter. How are you approaching Kyren? I just want to look at Kyren in this situation. How are you approaching Kyren on the season-long scale of this?
Okay, off the top of my head, Laquan, and you are the Rams man, so tell me if this sounds incorrect. Off the top of my head, I don't think Sean McVay has ever gone with a two-back system. Does that sound right to you?
For majority of the Sean McVay era, you are right. But I have to say, the 1 year that Liam Cohen was on our staff, I don't want to be wrong and misspoken on the year, but Kevin O'Connell was our offensive coordinator. That's when we had Malcolm Brown, Darrell Henderson, and Cam Akers crashing out because he didn't want to share the backfield. We had 3 running backs that year touching the ball. Malcolm Brown catching targets out of the backfield along with Darrell Henderson in that red zone duty. It was a complete mess. So I think that was somewhat of a Liam Cohen influence, the beginning stages of it, where he took that and ran with it in Tampa. But this year just feels different to me as a fan, where I'm looking at this. There's no way that Sean McVay puts the ball in Kyren put the ball in his hands as much as he did last year, being that in the last 2 seasons, he leads all running backs in fumbles. And that was one of the most frustrating things, and that was the hangup on why they weren't so quick to sign him. So this feels like Blake Corum is going to have something to say in this backfield. So maybe at the back end of the season, Jarquez Hunter. So this makes me a little worried as a Kyren owner.
I think you are, it was 2021, it was their Super Bowl year. And you are quite right. It was a pretty easy split. I am pretty sure Kyren Williams is a better running back than Sony Michel, though I'm not positive about that. And I'm not convinced about how good Blake Corum is. What the other thing I'll say is, though, is that I think it is more likely that what we saw from... I 100% agree with you that Kyren's touch count is going to come down. I think it has to. I don't think you want a guy that small... Yeah, shouldering 350 touches a year.
No.
So I think they're going to try to take that away. I think it's a little bit more likely that that those touches, as long as Matthew Stafford stays healthy, which is super important.
Yes.
That those touches slide towards the passing game, because obviously Stafford was super banged up last year. And I think that a lot of what would have been Stafford airing the ball out slid to Kyren Williams. I think some of that slides back towards Matthew Stafford. They go a little more pass heavy, maybe. And then Corum and Hunter do see some touches. I think we're talking 100 to 125.
That's serviceable.
175 to 200.
I can deal with that. I can deal with that if that's what Corum is going to be doing this season, because that lets me know at the same time, Corum has standalone value some weeks. He will have some spike weeks if Kyren, you know, he gets banged up with his injury history, or that's just how it's playing. It's a 1A, 1B situation. I mean, God, Okada, this is going to be a backfield that obviously I'm going to have eyes on, but I think a lot of fantasy owners need to get their expectations in order on a season-long approach. Like, nobody's saying Kyren's going to go out there and put out a dud. Like, I just think that we need to get our expectations in order of the return that we're going to get on Kyren, because he could end up being a low-end running back one by the end of the season. That's cool. Maybe next year he drops to maybe the fourth. Nah, he ain't going to drop past the fourth round. I ain't going to go that far. But Okada, we got week one kickoff right now. Ooh. So obviously with us recording on a Thursday, we have no idea, you know, when this is going to be up, what happened. So let's do a little prediction. Ooh. With Eagles and Cowboys. How do you think this is shaking out? Let me go first. I'm gonna be real quick.
Okay.
I think when it comes to fantasy points, when it comes to the Eagles, I think Devontae Smith will lead them. I think AJ Brown will be second. And then I think it will be Jalen Hurts. Saquon Barkley will have a quiet night. That's my prediction on the Eagles side. Ooh. Cowboys side, it's going to be the CD and Pickens show with a little sprinkle of Jake Ferguson. I don't have the order of which they're going to finish in fantasy points, but that's going to be the show. 1, 2, and 3. Let's go. Okay. What you got?
I like this. This is a sneaky Saquon call because, you know, if you listen to Jerry Jones, he was all about up in arms about how
the
team was. Yeah, they couldn't stop the run with Micah Parsons, so they shipped him out, and they brought in a D-tackle instead, a really good one. They want to stop the run. And by the way, if he's too believed for all of this, and he wasn't just saying it, he did this largely because of Saquon Barkley, because boy, did he make them look bad. I will get on board with you on that side of the ball. On the Cowboys side of the ball, Laquan. Dak Prescott is going to throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in this game.
Whoa! Let's go! QB1 season, load up!
Oh, boy. Now, is this extremely biased? Because I have, like, 5 shares of Dak Prescott, 3 yes. shares of CeeDee Lamb, and 3 shares of George Pickens across all my leagues.
Max shares.
A little bit. But they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up with this Eagles team, and they do not really have a run game. So it's going to be a whole bunch of Dak, a whole bunch of CeeDee, a whole bunch of Pickens. Jake Ferguson might catch a touchdown. Yeah, I love all these guys. Whoever's listening to this after the fact, let us know if we were right about the 31-27 Eagles win with 400 yards and 4 touchdowns from Dak Prescott. Hit me up.
Let's go, Okada. I freaking love that prediction, man. And obviously, we have max shares of Dak Prescott. This is a Dak Prescott stand pod, and we are looking for QB1 numbers going into week 2. Okada, this has been fun, man. It is week 1. We are setting our lineups. We are double-checking before kickoff, and I definitely appreciate you guys listening to the FTN Fantasy Show. And please make sure you guys use the promo code that's going to go down here. It ain't too late to get the subscription. It ain't too late to use our in-season tools, the waiver wire tools, the best out there on the market. I could best believe that. So make sure you guys check out our episode next week, man. We're going to be back previewing more games for week 2. So good luck in week 1.